A few years ago, I was in New York with a friend, and we were going to a hockey game at Madison Square Garden. And I was really excited because I love hockey, and it was the Garden, and I am excited. And my friend works for the New Jersey Devils, and so I'm a pastor and a Devils fan. I know it's weird. But we were going, and I was so excited because I was going to get a press pass because he works for the press, and so I got this pass, and I was acting like I was, you know, press, and this is really exciting, but in front of Madison Square Garden, as people are walking in, there was a man, literally on a milk carton, holding a sign. Now, have you ever experienced someone on a milk carton holding a sign saying, "Your doom is coming, turn now"? It literally said, "Turn now or burn forever." And my interest was piqued. And I don't know if you know, for those that know me, you know I do this. For you that don't know me too well, let me tell you, I love to stir the pot a little bit. I'm a pot stirrer. And my wife would say amen to that. And so I decided to approach this man. And of course, my friend that I'm with, he's my mentor, and he's a Christ follower. He's like the same way. And he goes up to him, he's like, "Well, why do you think the doom and gloom is coming? And it said tomorrow. Why do you think Jesus is coming tomorrow?" "Well, all the signs are pointing to him coming tomorrow." And I said, "Brother, you're going to be very disappointed when you wake up tomorrow. Because you don't know the time and place." And he goes, no, "I do. I know it. I know it. You need to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior." And I'm like, "I do. I know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But the scripture says we don't know the time or hour." He's like, "I do. It was told to me late last night while I was smoking." He was like, "Smoking weed." Like, "Okay, great. So the Holy Spirit told you while you were in a drug-induced time frame." He's like, "Yeah, that's when the Spirit opens me up." It's like, "Oh man, this is terrific. I'm ready to talk more about this with you." And we talked for a little bit more, and he's like, "Man, you need to understand that tomorrow Jesus is coming." And I said, "Yes, I believe that he's coming again. Yes, I believe he's my Savior. Yes, yes. But I don't think he's coming. I wish he would, but I don't think he's coming tomorrow because you're saying that he's coming tomorrow." And it was a fun interaction of this man on the milk carton by Madison Square Garden with this huge sign saying, "Turn or burn." And I'm thinking, that's probably not the best approach to tell people about Jesus. And the next day that we were in New York, I saw the guy. So, poor guy. Most disappointed he's ever been in his life, I'm sure. But have you ever been in that situation where it's like, man, we don't know, but this man is telling us differently. This is strange. This is out there. This is wacky. And then you look at the scripture and you say, okay, what does Jesus really say? What's really going on here? So we're going to talk a little bit about prophecy. Just a glimpse. Next week, Derek will jump in more of what Jesus is saying, what that means, the end times, the futures, the more of the desolation abomination. That will be next week. But this week, we're going to just hit a glimpse on it. See, the purpose, one of the purposes, I should say, of Bible prophecy, such as in Matthew 24, is to motivate us as Christ followers, those that know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, to motivate us to live well today. It's not to satisfy our curiosity about the future. It is to intensify our purity in the present day. In Matthew 24, Jesus gave his followers a glimpse of the future, just a glimpse. But he did not do it so they could get excited about future events. He did it so they would become thoroughly motivated to follow his commission in the present day. So we're gonna read Matthew 24, verses 1 through 14. And this is what it says, starting with verse 1. Jesus left the temple and was going away. So if you remember what's happening here in Matthew, he's just been talking with the Pharisees and Sadducees. He says all these woes to them because they're whitewashed tombs. They say one thing, they do another, and then all of a sudden they're lamenting, or Jesus is lamenting over them. And now they're walking out of the temple. And this is what happens. Jesus left the temple and was going away when his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. But he answered them, "You see all these, do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And as they sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these, but the beginning of the birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because of lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Now, the disciples here, we got to picture this in our head. The disciples are walking out of the temple with Jesus, and Jesus has just won a great verbal battle with the Pharisees and Sadducees. So you can imagine the disciples are pretty excited about being on the winning team here with Jesus, right? At least this is in my head. It might not be in yours, but this is how I'm picturing it, that Peter's like, oh yeah, my rabbi just kicked their rabbi's butt. That's in my head, okay? It's not scripture. But I'm just thinking, man, these disciples are feeling pretty good about the moment. And they're feeling pretty good about where they're at. And they're seeing the temple and seeing how great it is. And they're seeing, man, this is the place where God lives and we are on the right side of it. this is a permanent place where we can show the world that this is God right here. And Jesus, knowing their heart, because they're like, man, look at all these things. Look how impressed we are. Look how people from all over the world come and see our temple. It's just amazing. The temple was massive, and some of the stones weighed tons in weight, and there was gold reflecting sunlight off the walls, and you can just imagine this. And the symbolization of the temple, that it's permanent, the permanency of it, the stability of it, the presence of God, you could see was there. And Jesus says, though, because he knows the heart of the disciples, and he says in Matthew 24, 2, what does he say? He says, you see all these, do you not? I mean, you're just talking about it. Do you not see this? Truly I say to you, there will not be one left here on top of the other. Not one. They will all be thrown down. They'll all be gone. It will all crumble. This building will. And in one sentence, Jesus dismantles what they thought was untouchable. And I can just imagine what the disciples are thinking at this moment. What did you just say, Jesus? I can hear one of them, you know, in my mind, just reciting scripture in their heads and saying, wait a minute. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 40, verse 8, the prophet Isaiah, he said the grass withers. Right? The grass withers and the flowers fades. But the word of our God will stand forever. How is this going to be, Lord? How is the temple going to be falling? What is happening here? And to the Jewish people, the temple was everything. Everything. I mean, that's where God resides. And in fact, Jesus predicted this would happen because it happened in the Jewish wars and when Rome conquered the Jews again in AD 70 and they tore down the temple. They burned it down and killed thousands of people within the temple. I mean, Jesus is not trying to frighten his disciples here. He is preparing them. This passage is not written to create panic. It is written to produce steadiness. Because Jesus knows something we often forget. See, the world shakes and it crumbles, but his kingdom stands forever. And I think we forget that often. The disciples were forgetting that. The disciples immediately asked, well, wait a minute. This shaking, the temple falling down, when will this happen? And what will be the signs of it all? But Jesus says in his first response in Matthew 24:4, it is not a scheduled time. But it is a warning. And Jesus says in Matthew 24, 5 through, or 4 through 5, he says, see that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. See, before he talks about any signs or timelines, he talks about deception. See, when foundations crack, and you might see this in your own life, you see it in the world happening. I mean, you can see it in the news. See, when foundations crack, fear rises. When fear rises, deception spreads. And something this says to us right now is something I want you to jot down. It says, when what feels permanent begins to fall, man, Jesus calls us to discernment, not panic. To discernment, not panic. We don't need to panic about things. We need to look at the situation and say, okay, Lord, where am I in this? Where are you in this? How do I live for you during this? Proverbs 3:5, what does it say? It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. Because when that happens, we can be led astray. 1 John 4:1 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. If you notice this, and you might notice this already, but in an anxious world, you might notice this. In an anxious world, man, voices multiply. And it's hard to figure out what are the true voices. But Jesus says, slow down. Stay anchored. Discern. Panic is not preparation. Discernment is. So before we ask what is happening out there in the world, we must ask, am I rooted in Christ here, now? But discernment alone is not enough. It's not enough. You need it, but it's not enough. Because even when you are thinking clearly, we may still suffer deeply. Just like Pastor Derek said last week, knowing truth does not remove hardship. It equips us to endure it. And that is where Jesus takes us next. In Matthew 24, verses 6 through 13, Jesus is speaking of wars and rumors of wars. Nation rising against nation, famines, earthquakes, right? Persecution is happening. Anybody ever seen that on the news? It was happening back then too. It's still happening today. And Jesus says in chapter 24, verse 8, he says, All these are but the beginning of birth pains. Birth pains are painful. Man, I should know. Yeah. Birth pains are painful, but purposeful. I remember when my wife started going into, well, we thought it was labor with Brianna, our oldest. And I'm like, okay, here we go. Yeah, I can feel them too. You ever get those? They say it's not true. Sympathy weight, but it is. Let me tell you. I was like 140 pounds before I had kids. No, I wasn't. But then there's that sympathy pain. Anybody ever go through that? Am I the only one? I will start a support group for the sympathy pain. All the women are like, you don't even know the half of it. But of course, when my wife went in, we thought labor, it wasn't labor. It was those false labor. I can't even remember what they're called. Braxton that Braxton guy, he was false. You know? Well, he didn't know anything. And then Don had to be induced because our kids were so comfortable where they were. They're like, yeah, we're not coming out. But then once she was induced, the pain started happening. I mean, I had to take some Advil so bad that night. No, the pain started happening, but there was a purpose to the pain because something beautiful came out. There is purpose to the pain. And Jesus is saying, this is just the start of the pain. And you'll see something beautiful come out of it. Paul echoes what Jesus is saying when he's writing to the Christians in Rome. In Romans 8:22, Paul says it this way. He says, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth." Until now, he's saying. He's talking to people with hope right there. See, with people of hope, with hope in Jesus, the birthing pains, though they're still there, they know that we're gonna go through it because something great is gonna be on the other side of it. And they hold true to this hope and they hold true to faith. And something that we need to see out of Matthew chapter 24, verses 6 through 13 is this. When the world is marked by chaos and suffering, Jesus anchors us in endurance, not in escape. We're not meant to escape it. We're meant to endure. Suffering does not mean God has lost control. Not at all. It means redemption is unfolding, which is great news. Redemption is coming because we live in a fallen world, a world of depravity, a world of pain and suffering. But that does not mean that God has lost control. It means that redemption is unfolding and we will see him again. And I say glory to God for that. I will stay anchored to Jesus to endure. Because it's easy to try to escape it. It's easy to try to run away from pain and suffering. But you'll never be better or healthier doing that. When you endure pain and suffering with Jesus, the other side is always better. Suffering does not mean God has lost control, not at all. It means redemption is unfolding. Matthew 24, verse 12, what does that say? It says, and because of lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. Man, we take these verses and we can look at what the world is seeing right now. We see lawlessness going on. We see people not loving other people. It's the love for others is growing colder and colder. And to the disciples, or even to us, that this is like the most sobering line in the whole passage. See, it's not just external pressure happening here. It's not just what we see on the outside, but it's internal. Our hearts are cooling. Our hearts are hardening. I'm talking about the human race. Our hearts are hardening. That's a hard word for me right now. It's a hard thing. But what does Jesus promise in Matthew 24, 13? Jesus promises this, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. We'll be saved. Man, we endure because just like what Psalm 26, 1 says, that God is our refuge. God is our strength, a very present help in trouble. But even enduring is not the final goal. Jesus does not prepare his disciples merely to survive the shaking of the earth, the crumbling of walls. No, he prepares them to serve within it. He lifts their eyes beyond self-preservation into kingdom participation. And that changes everything. See, in the world, when anxiety spreads and the love grows cold, Jesus sends us, those that know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, us on mission with urgency and hope. In Matthew 24, 14, Jesus says this. He says, and the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. And I'm excited about verse 14. The gospel, we're in this right now. The gospel is being proclaimed throughout the world. Notice the certainty here in Jesus' expression. It will be proclaimed. The mission does not stall when the world shakes. No, it advances. In fact, we should be excited when the world shakes. And we should be ready, like, oh, it's time to go again. Here we are. The world is crumbling. All right, I'm advancing because I have the love of Jesus in me and I have the love for others in me. And I don't want to see my brother or my sister not know Jesus as my Lord and as their Lord and Savior. So I will go and I would advance. And why is this? Because Jesus reigns. Jesus reigns yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And his resurrection gives us great confidence to go. He declares in Matthew 28, 18, what does he say? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And he sends us out. He reigns now. And that's exciting, isn't it, people? That Jesus reigns now. He will return. That's a promise. And until that day, we live as witnesses with anxiety spreading. Faith, calm faith stands out. When love grows cold in the world, the way of the King of Kings shows us, man, we're gonna love God more and love people even more. And we're gonna stand firm. And here's the big idea that I want us to take away here. This is the big idea. Because Jesus reigns now and will return, we live with steady faith, enduring hope, urgent love, and a world that shakes. Anybody's world shaking? Man, stand strong. Stand strong. But how do we live this out? How do we live this out when not one stone will be left upon another? How do we live this out when our world shakes? We anchor ourselves in what cannot be shaken. Hebrews 13:8 says this, says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And if Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, I will anchor myself to him. And I will hold on to him. We choose discernment over panic. We choose endurance over escape. We choose urgent, faithful love over cold withdrawal. Because Jesus reigns now. Not someday, now. He will return. But I'm living for today, like he says to live. And he reigns today, so I will be steady in my walk. I will be anchored to him. Though my world may shake around me, though there may be health problems, there may be addiction problems, there may be relational problems, there may be economic problems within my world, I will stand firm because my God reigns today. That's our steady ground. And that was sealed. That was sealed for us. When Jesus Christ, our Savior of the world, died on a cross, that was sealed. Remember, Jesus spoke these words in Matthew 24 that just days before. If you look at the Bible in Matthew, you know that these were just a few days before he would suffer. And he would be nailed to a cross. He spoke these words to the disciples. That the temple stones would fall. The world will shake. But upon that cross, salvation would be secured and the anchor would hold fast. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11:26, he writes, "For as often as you eat this bread," because we're going to go into a time of communion now. "As often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until when? He comes." Do you hear that? We will proclaim him until he comes. You know, we take communion between two realities. The reality of Christ has died for us. Christ will return for us. And through communion, we look back at the cross and we steady ourselves and we stand in steady presence of the Lord. We look back to the cross, but we also look forward with hope for his return. We come not clinging to stones, right? We cling to the Christ who is the Savior of the world. Because though not one stone will be left, our Savior stands forever.